Book one, Wishbone. Chapter one. Ruby Bell was a constant reminder of what could befall a woman whose shoe heels were too high. The people of Liberty Township wove her into cautionary tales of the wages of sin and travel. They called her buck crazy, howling half-naked mad. The fact that she had come back from New York City made this somewhat understandable to the town. She wore gray like rain clouds and wandered the red roads in bared feet, calluses thick as boot leather, hair caked with mud, blackened nails as if she had scratched the slate of night. Her acres of legs carrying her, arms swaying like a loose screen, her eyes the ink of sky just before the storm. That is how Ruby walked when she lived in the splintered house that Papa Bell had built before he passed. When she dug into the East Texas soil under moonlight and wailed like a distant train. In those years, after her return, people let Ruby be. They walked a curved path to avoid her door. And so it was more than strange when someone walked the length of Liberty and brought a covered cake to the Bell's front porch. Ephraim Jennings had seen the gray woman passing like a haint through the center of town since she'd returned to Bell Land in 1963. All of Liberty had. He had seen her wipe the spittle from her jerking lips, run her still beautiful hands over the crust of her hair each day before she'd turn the corner in view of the town. He'd seen her walking like she had some place she ought to have been, then 5 steps away from P&K Market, stand pillar still, her rain cloud body shaking. Ephraim had seen Miss P, the proprietor of the store, walk nonchalantly out of her door and say, "Honey, can you see if I got the rise in these rolls right?" Ephraim watched Ruby stare past her, but take the brown sack filled with steaming yeast bread, take it and walk away with her acres of legs carrying her, while Miss P said, "You come on back tomorrow, Ruby Bell, and help me out if you get the chance." Ephraim Jennings had watched this for 11 years. Seen her black-bottomed foot kick a swirl of dust in its wake. Every day he wanted nothing more than to put each tired soul in his wide wooden tub, brush them both in warm, soapy water, cream them with sweet oil and lanolin, and then slip her feet, one by one, into a pair of red heel socks. But instead, with each passing year, he watched Miss P do her Christian duty from the corner of his eye, watched the gray woman stoop to accept the doughy alms. He sat alongside the crowd of men parked on their stools outside P&K, who read their papers, played dominoes, and chewed tobacco, toothpicks dangling, pipes smoking, soda pops sweating, just as they had the day Ruby arrived back in Liberty. When she'd stepped from the red bus, the porch had crowded her with their eyes, hair pressed and gleaming like polished black walnut, lipstick red and thick, her cornflower blue sundress darted and stitched tight to her waist. Ephraim had watched her light a cigarette and glare down at the crowd on the market porch, in such a way that made folks feel embarrassed for breathing. Chauncey Rankin had said later, "Not only do her shit not stink, way she acts, she ready to sell it by the ounce." They had all watched steadily as she slipped into madness. Concern, mingled with a secret satisfaction, melted into the creases of their bodies like Vaseline. After a time, they barely glanced up from their papers when Ruby walked up to the market. They yawned her existence away or spit out a wad of tobacco juice to mark her arrival.